You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we retroactively and proactively denounce everything we've ever said and will say. I'm your host, Justin M. Lazeski, and man, am I tired. It's been a long weekend for the last 2 days, all of Saturday and all of Sunday, and I'm recording this on a Sunday night. For those last 2 days, I have been working and coaching at a wrestling tournament. This tournament was called the Florida Championships, and it involved all three styles of wrestling. It was freestyle, Greco, and folk style. Folk style is what they typically wrestle in high school and college, and freestyle and Greco are what they wrestle in the Olympics. But of course, young kids and high schoolers can always participate in freestyle and Greco events to, you know, prepare them. It is kind of interesting to me that we don't have a true professional wrestling. You know, we have WWE, AEW, Impact, Major League Wrestling, which, you know, this is choreography, right? This is, you know, it's dance, it's routines, right? It's stage play, it's theater. It's choreographed dance plus theater, right? As theater with narrative storytelling. You get the point. And they did it once back in the day. I don't know if anyone remembered, they tried to do real pro wrestling. This was after Rulon Gardner won in the Olympics. He won Greco-Roman wrestling. And they tried to do that, and they tried to build it around him, where they had different teams and they had dual meets all the time. But that sort of failed. Yeah, it's kind of tough to do a real pro wrestling. But, you know, it's interesting to me that, and I was thinking about this over the weekend, how high school and college kids don't do freestyle primarily. They do folk style. But then if you want to continue on and go to the Olympics and be successful on the quote unquote amateur circuit after you graduate college, you have to transition into freestyle. So it's interesting that there is that discrepancy there. It's probably part of, you know, the whole America thing, where, you know, America has football and the rest of the world doesn't have American football. So just an interesting note, but I'm really, really tired based upon that. That's why I'm recording this on a Sunday night. It's also why I'm doing a solo episode, because I've made a commitment to myself and to all of you midsiders out there to get an episode out every week, you know, besides when we take our hiatus. I've made that commitment, and it's a little bit tougher now that, you know, I've moved to Florida. I'm teaching, I'm coaching, and I'm in the middle of trying to get my permanent certification, which is, you know, jumping through hoops to satisfy the local government, right? Even though I have experience teaching for college, even though I have a master's, I still have to prove myself the same way everyone else does, to make it fair, to make it equal, right? Everyone has to jump through the same hoops. So It's tough to find time, but that, you know, I've made that commitment, and that's why I'm doing a solo episode. That's why William is not here. Just not enough time to plan, not enough time to line up, because, you know, he is out there on the West Coast still. Unfortunately, he's still out there. He's one of the people that I try and get to move to Florida. There are a bunch of people that I try and convince. Actually, you all. I try and convince you all on the show, always, right? Every episode, I think I plug a little bit about how awesome Florida is. Plus, I'm trying to preserve Florida. You know, one of the reasons I didn't move to Austin was sort of on the short list, but then it was like, hey, everyone from California is moving there. And now I have this paranoia that that's happening with Florida as well, especially the Bay Area, right? Because if you're going to move from the Bay Area in California, might as well move to the Bay Area in Florida. But I have that paranoia, so I'm trying to get as many people to come here to sort of preserve what makes Florida awesome. Although, to tell you the truth, it's probably not Californians I have to be worried about. It's New Yorkers. If I had to say what the worst thing about moving here has been, it's been New Yorkers. There's nothing I hate more than someone who moves somewhere or who makes a change in their life and then talks about how awesome things were before or where they lived before was. It's sort of like somebody who dumps their girlfriend and then is with someone new and talks about how awesome their old girlfriend was. And it's like, well, why did you break up with your girlfriend then? And it's because, like, there was something completely untenable about that relationship. It's like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend was really awesome, except, like, she punched me in the face 3 times a day. And you remember all those good things, and then you try to turn your new girlfriend into your old girlfriend, not realizing that when you do that, she's going to start punching you in the face 3 times a day. And then that's sort of, you know, what these people who move to freer states and try to make them like the states they left that became prohibitively expensive or prohibitively oppressive. Like, imagine everyone from Ontario moving to America and then be like, well, yeah, America's great, except that they would handle a pandemic the same way Canada did. So somebody just replied in the chat and was like, curse you for going live during WWE Backlash. Literally, I had to choose amateur wrestling or pro wrestling, and I will choose amateur wrestling every day. So, yeah, like I was saying, it's crazy to move somewhere because you couldn't survive in the other place, right? I couldn't survive in the other place. So I'm moving here so I can have a good life, and I'm going to talk about how awesome the other place is. To tell you the truth, it probably comes from a lack of self-esteem. Like, I left California because it was prohibitively expensive, but I don't think that's because I wasn't good enough. It's not like, oh, if I was better, I would have been able to survive in California. There are probably a lot of people who leave California, New York, and think they're awesome because it's like, oh, man, if I had been good enough, I could have been able to survive there, but I'm not. Or like, you know, oh, the system is oppressing me, and if the system was on my side, I would have been able to survive there. You know, not realizing that it's the anti-reality, the anti-human policies that make it impossible to live there. So, you know, again, this is something that I always come back to in my mind. So much comes down to motivation. So much comes down to psychology, not just philosophy, psychology as well. And you can people can do things for the same reason without doing them for the same reason. And what I mean by that is, two people can move from California to Florida, or two people can move from New York to Florida for a better life because they believe their life would be better there, but they can do it for completely different psychological reasons. So they can have like the same reason, but different motivation. I don't know. There's got to be a way to say it. And that's something to think about going forward. But that sort of stuff weighs heavy on my mind. But that's not, you know, that's not really the tangent I, you know, expected to go on. That's not where I was planning on going on in this episode. So let's get to some of the stuff I've outlined here. I dropped an outline in the Discord. You can always join us in the Discord to continue the conversation right now. That was what I responded to. There's some people listening right now as I ramble live. And like I say, as always, I appreciate you all, because otherwise this would just be me rambling into a microphone like an insane person. Not that it isn't. It's just somehow other people enjoy me rambling like an insane person into a microphone. So I appreciate that. So you can get in the Discord, go to the midside.com and midside.com/podcast, click on any episode link, and you can join that Discord and you can contribute to the discussion during the week. There was some really, really good discussion during this week. The Discord has been popping off the last couple months or so. So let's keep that rolling. If you're out there listening and you've ever thought, oh man, where's all the reasonable conversation? It's not on Twitter. It's in our Discord. All right. So let's look at the outline I posted. The first thing I put in there was that I wanted to talk about the Middle East. Not really. And what I mean about that is, like, I don't understand the need to have an opinion about everything nowadays. Like, in my most private moments with my best friends, I have thoughts about these things. Are they fully solid, 100%, you know, final opinions for, you know, the rest of time? No. And they're not things that I would say publicly, because look, I'm over here in America. I was born in the 80s. What the fuck do I know about what life is like in that area of the Middle East, right? On the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, in Israel, in Jerusalem, right? What do I know about any of that? And what do I know about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Now, it's hard to ignore history, right? It's hard to ignore, you know, the basic movements the basic conflicts of human history. And there are philosophical implications. But to me, it is non-essential for me to have a public opinion and to share an opinion publicly about these things. And this is sort of the thing about our new globalized society, our new, you know, social media society. Everyone has to have an opinion at or about all things at all times. You can't let anything go without saying anything about it. I think the only thing, right? So I was thinking about it. Whenever there's a celebrity death, people like post a bunch of stuff, right? The only celebrity death I saw that nobody said anything except for me was Dustin Diamond. I don't know if you guys are aware, the guy who played Screech on Saved by the Bell died. And he was like on Saved by the Bell. I mean, he was on Saved by the Bell. He was on The College Years. He was on the original Good Morning, Miss Bliss. He was on Saved by the Bell, The New Class. He was on all of it. The only thing he hasn't been on, or he wasn't on, you can't even say hasn't, he's dead, was the reboot. But nobody said anything about him because he had all those bad things about him. So it's like you have to take stances. Everyone has to take a stance, but they also need to make sure they take a stance that is 100% pure, 100% moral. So that leads to, you know, these moralizing stances. And you get that about this, you know, this Israel-Palestine conflict, especially with what's going on right now. I mean, the big thing on social media this week with that was that picture. That picture that looked like it was straight out of a movie. Like, if you had told me that that was like a poster for a movie and it wasn't like, you know, those two cities and I didn't have that context, I would believe you. If somebody had been like, oh yeah, this is a Godzilla versus Kong poster, I would believe you. Because if you look at the way, like, the lighting is and the paths of the missiles, it's very, it looks planned, like with the contrast, right? Like the visual contrast. And, you know, this is sometimes where, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction, or the best art is reality, right? Being able to capture reality. If you look at, you know, the pictures or the missiles from Hamas are going in a certain direction and they're going more straight, and the missiles from Israel are more going sort of circuitous in the air, right? And you can, if you want, you can draw certain narratives from there, but, right, this is sort of the Rorschach test here, right? Is it a butterfly? Is his bloodstain a butterfly? It's an angel. It's an angel. Someone told me it was a skull. Okay, it's an angel. But in this case, you know, you could say, oh, well, look, the missiles from Hamas are firing directly at Israel, and all they're doing is defending themselves using their missile defense. Or you could say, oh, well, Hamas has to do that. They have to attack in that way. Right, that's them being aggressive because they need to, because Israel is going to continue to oppress and attack them. So, you know, it could go either way. But it's such a stark picture, right? It's such a stark picture that it's like it compels you to have an opinion and it compels you to share your opinion. But I don't see how me having an opinion on this serves my life and makes the world better from having specifically a public opinion on this. I mean, first of all, I have an opinion, but I don't think it's strong enough. I don't think it's defined enough. I don't think it's clear enough for me to share, because precisely because I don't see how it benefits my life to share it. I mean, look, what is it going to do? What is it going to do? Is it going to somehow sway the conflict? Is it going to somehow solve the conflict? Is me sharing my opinion going to solve the conflict? No. And there are so many things nowadays that people need to talk about in that way because they feel this pressure. And that's sort of my opinion on it. That's sort of my opinion on it. You know, I saw it, and I saw everyone having an opinion on it, making statements on social media. I saw specifically Julian Edelman was forced into speaking about it, and he gave a very, you know, safe answer, as safe of an answer as you could give. You know, he essentially said people are not their governments, which is a great statement, right? And it's something that is terrifying when, you know, we're supposed to have a government that's by the people and for the people, right? I mean, it's sort of terrifying that I apply that even to us. And maybe that's the lesson of the American experiment, is that people are not their governments, which then how do we reckon with government then? What is government? What is its purpose? What is its role? Right? What are the rules that govern government? Right? Who watches the watchman? Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Wow. Huh. Interesting. All right. That was sarcasm for anyone who was wondering. Yeah, so I saw Julian Edelman was pressured into making that statement, and then I was like, why? Why? Because he's famous, and he's Jewish, and he's rich? And it's just like, he's probably getting it from both sides. He's probably getting it from the Israeli side, you know, the pro-Israel side, the Jewish side, you know, saying, you know, take our side publicly, legitimize us. And then the other side saying, you know, please don't further legitimize them. You know, have sympathy for human rights. And it's sort of like... Like, I get it. I get the argument for both sides. I get the argument for both sides. I do have my opinion, but someone that's Midsiders, that's what I want to hear in the Discord. That's what I want to hear in the Discord. If you have an argument for why me having a solid public opinion on this would be a benefit to my life and would have any effect on the world overall, let me know, because I can't think of one. And that's where I'm at with a lot of the stuff that people talk about. With a lot of the stuff people talk about, I'm like, why? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why do you feel the need to share about that? Instead, I feel the need to share about sort of like, you know, what I go through, what I experience. And hold on, I lost my thought. Oh, yeah, and news stories and things, cultural developments that affect my life individually. Those are the couple of things I want to talk about next. First of all, I saw that there's a comment in the Discord here. Somebody said, I totally agree with you. I've withheld judgment on the whole thing and used the time to do more reading, learn more, and I still don't feel like I know that my opinion is meaningful or defined enough. Right, exactly. I couldn't have said it better. Well said. Right, and the person in... Green Ranger 81 in the Discord here is saying, you know, experiences and biases with the two groups, right? And he says his opinion isn't real. I mean, I would argue any opinion you hold is real for the sense that you hold it. I mean, I think maybe you mean valid or correct or reasonable, but that's a semantic difference there, you know, talking about your choice of the word real. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's... I'm laughing because, like, I have my knowledge of history and I have my knowledge of everything that's happened. And, you know, I know what's happened pre-Israel, post-Israel, right? And that it certainly informs my opinion, but it's so abstract. It's so disconnected. And then you're going to go put that online, which is going to make it more disconnected. It's just fucking insane. It's just fucking... I don't know. Like I said, just give me a reason. Somebody get in the Discord and give me a reason why me holding a defined opinion publicly is going to change my life for the positive and possibly affect the world for the positive. So a couple other things I want to talk about here. I mean, I'm scrolling up because there was something I was looking for that I posted. Yeah, we have somebody in the chat talking about getting COVID and not getting COVID, getting the COVID vaccine. And I always love to tell people who get the COVID vaccine that they gave themselves COVID, because after the second shot, they always start complaining about having the symptoms of COVID. And it's just the funniest thing ever to me. Like, I get that's the way vaccine technology works, but it's just hilarious that for like a year, we're like, you can't have any symptoms. If you have any symptoms, stay home. And then it's like, now stick this needle in your arm, which will give you symptoms. It's just funny how things change in such a concrete way. So the first thing I wanted to do was give a little gym update, because if you remember a couple weeks ago, or might have been last week, I don't remember, podcast amnesia, but there was the guy that was like, your weight's too heavy, your form's terrible, like trying to tell me I needed to like change the weight that I was working with. And, you know, we talked for a little bit about like, who are the people who do that, right? Like, why would you do that? Reality is funny, man. Like, this past week at the gym, like, it was like a complete 180. Like, and like I said, people usually leave me alone, but I was benching, and when I was benching, I like to, you know, up it. You know, you do like 6 to 8 reps at one weight, then 6 to 8 at reps at the next, and then I go up. I do it like 5 different sets, and, you know, by the time I get to the end, I can probably only do like 2 reps on the last set. But somebody saw me on like my 3rd set, and I was benching 185. And after the set, he just, you know, the guy walked by and he very jovially said to me, you know, "You're not playing around, man." And I just thought that was like a complete 180. Like, it was just so interesting to me that after like that one guy was just such a jerk to me, then there was a guy like that. And it just sums up the world a lot to me, right? The way people are always running their mouths. When you can have two people see the same person acting the same way, two people can see him and have two 180 degrees away reactions to it. So one guy sees me lifting and sees me lifting, you know, heavy for my size, and he wants to tell me my form sucks. And then another guy sees me and he's just like, "Wow, you know, good job," right? And it's just like, first of all, if we had that sort of positivity in the gym, and I don't want to turn into these like, "Have empathy for everyone. Positivity and love is how we will save the world." No, I'm just saying like basic respect, right? Like, someone's working hard. They earned respect. Show them that respect. Like, if we had more of that, it would make the world better. But it was just interesting to me. Midsider Tom asked in the Discord if I saw that guy again. I've never seen that guy again. That's the funny thing about it, right? Like, I'm there every day at basically about the same time, right? Like, I'm going to dox myself here, right? I'm at the Kissimmee Crunch Fitness every weekday between like 3 and 5 o'clock. Am I exactly there for those 2 hours? No, I'm usually there between 45 minutes and an hour, sometime between those time periods. So I see the same people, right? See the same people. And if you ever want to run a test, right, if you go to some place routinely, you can even see who the Instagrammers are. If you go to that location on Instagram and you look up the pictures that are posted, you can see it's the same people who post the same type of pictures every day. And you can see who those people are too. And I've never seen the guy at the gym besides that one day. I've never seen him posting on Instagram when I've looked. Again, I've never seen the guy being nice to me. I've never seen that guy before or after. Granted, that was like one day last week. Who knows if I'll see him again. But, oh, just interesting to me. Interesting to me how, like I said, people can have two completely opposite reactions to the same sort of stimuli. Now, before, I was doing bicep curls with the curved barbell, right? And here I was just doing bench press this time. But it's not like I forgot how to lift the other time. I don't know. Another thing I wanted to talk about was there was an article this week, or a news story, and it was posted in a bunch of stuff, but I saw the AV Club article about this, and the headline is, it's a very South Park headline, right? Not intentionally South Park, one that South Park makes fun of. If you remember the Harbucks episode of South Park, where Harbucks came in and they were driving Tweak's dad's local coffee shop out of business, and Tweak's dad made a political ad because he was trying to get the local government to ban giant corporations. And he had the kids on it, and it was like, "You don't hate children, do you?" Well, this headline is, "Children no longer allowed to buy Pokemon cards at Target, thanks to Wisconsin brawl." Now, I'm not so worried about the children angle about this, but of course, you know, it does hurt the children. Not that the children are more valuable than us, right? Like, women no longer allowed to buy Pokemon cards at Target thanks to Wisconsin ball. Oh my God, that's so terrible. The women and children. But if you were like, men no longer allowed to buy Pokemon cards at Target thanks to Wisconsin brawl, you'd be like, well, why are the men buying Pokemon cards? Maybe it's for the women and children. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think it's more valid because it's children. I think it's hilarious they took that angle. But really, really, this is something that I always talk about. I don't know if I've ranted about it on the show before. I might have. I probably have. But I've definitely talked about it with my friends. It's the first the first line of this article. Adult trading card speculators have gone and ruined Pokemon for the kids. So essentially what this is flippers, okay? If nobody out there knows what flippers are, think of back in the day, I forgot the word. When people buy tickets and resell them. Scalpers. Think of scalpers back in the day. People who would buy a bunch of tickets at a box office and then stand outside the venue and sell them. They would stand outside the venue and sell them. Well, now we call these people flippers. And what they're able to do is two things. One, they do the same thing for the physical tickets. They go to stores and they buy up all the stock and then they resell them online. So basically the internet has enabled these people to be more aggressive with flipping, which is essentially you buy something that you believe will have high demand, you buy it, and then you sell it online for a quote-unquote profit. And I say quote-unquote for a reason I will get to in a second. Now, this also happens online, where they have bots. They have bots, and they program the bots to buy as many of the item as they can when it is immediately posted online. And they have ways of getting around, like, if the website makes it so you have to have a unique address for every site you, or every item you buy. You know, you can only buy one from each address, or one from each credit card, one from each bank account. They have ways that the bots get around this, right, by tricking the website. So the same few people buy out a bunch of stuff. You know, this really happened in the shoe community, where recently South Park, actually, funny enough, South Park released like a unique Tally shoe on 420. It looked really cool. It was like an Adidas shoe. The only problem was in the sun, his eyes got red like he was high. I get it. Like, Tally smokes weed. But if it didn't do that, I probably would have gotten the shoes because I liked the color and I liked the material. I just didn't want to wear something that made it look like I smoke weed when I don't, right? I do think Tally's a hilarious character, though. Don't forget to bring a towel or you'll get all wet. Now, I have no idea if that's a good impersonation. Now I'm going to look like an ass. Whenever I do that to myself, I think it's a good impersonation, but probably is terrible. So, but yeah, so they did that. So, like, you had to, like, sign up through a website and then that website sent you an app and that app would send you a notification when it was your turn to buy. All of this to make it so it was so difficult for flippers to be able to get access before the people who genuinely want them, right? Because these companies set a price point, right? These companies set a price point and they decide that's what they want to sell at. But what the flippers say is, well, that price point isn't high enough, so we're going to turn around and we're going to resell it. Now, what's interesting here for the discussion is, why do the companies not set their price point that high? Why are they leaving those profits on the table? Are they actually leaving those profits on the table? Because here's the thing about flippers. They add nothing. They add nothing. And that's what this story is all about. That's what this story is all about. So I forget. I think it said Wisconsin. But what happened was Target made it so they would only sell Pokemon cards at a certain time. A certain day and a certain time. Why? Because they were trying to make it as fair as possible for everyone. As fair as possible for everyone. Because what happens is, like I said, these people go to the stores and line up when there's new releases and they buy them out before anyone can get there. Because, you know, the rest of us have jobs and lives. We can't spend our entire life going to stores and lining up for these things. So they buy them out. So Target, you know, tried to make it fair. Apparently this caused a fight. Apparently this caused a fight, and that said Target was like, you know, it's not worth the BS to deal with these things anymore. And then now everyone loses, right? The flippers are going to lose that little extra source of income, quote unquote, and those cards aren't going to exist anymore in Target. You know, that they might shift to somewhere else and somebody else might decide it's worth the problem. So they'll sell those to the flippers. But this is what I'm talking about. Oh, first of all, sorry. I think I said this, but I keep jumping over it in my mind. The reason they're able to do this is The internet introduces them to a wider audience than ever before. So if you bought something back in the day and you were living in, you know, Hoboken, New Jersey, and I always say that because it sounds like a, you know, middle of nowhere town, even though it isn't, you would only be able to sell in the basic area of Hoboken, New Jersey, because people would know, or you'd be able to advertise to those people. Now you can just go on eBay and anyone from around the world can search for those items, right? They can see, oh, well, this guy, I'm in Ireland, but this guy in Hoboken, New Jersey has these Pokemon cards. I will buy them from him. So this has enabled people to act as sort of a global distribution network, even though the global distribution network is eBay and whatever shipping company they're using, right? So they're not really doing anything besides acting like a middleman. And that's the thing, is they're convincing themselves. This is why it really bothers me, and this is why the fight thing doesn't surprise me. They are convincing themselves that they are making a profit. When you look at the quality of life they have and the time they're spending and the actual money they're making off of it, they're not doing like a true cost-benefit analysis. They're not doing a true cost-benefit analysis. I mean, if you buy something, right? Let's say you buy, here's an example. So with Funko Pops, you guys know I collect them. I mentioned it on the show before. Post pictures on social media. I was trying to get all of the Gambit and Rogue 90s X-Men pops, because, you know, I love Gambit. He's probably my favorite X-Men. He was probably my favorite comic character from the 90s. And, you know, his whole relationship with Rogue. So I was trying to get all those. Target released, you know, special, like, Blacklight edition ones where they had cool boxes and they looked like they were under Blacklight. I would have gotten those. They were $15 a pop. A pop, get it? On Target's website. Flippers bought them and they're selling them for $30 a piece, $30 a pop on eBay. If you consider the amount of time put into it, the amount that eBay takes out of it, and the amount they're going to pay for shipping, the flipper is going to pay for shipping, how much of that $15 up charge are they really making? Or are they just convincing themselves that they're making a difference there? Are they just convincing themselves that they're making a difference there? And that's the other thing. Let's say they were making money off of that $15. What is their value added? Is their service, what I just said, they get it in the hands of people who wouldn't otherwise be willing to be able to get it? That person in Ireland wouldn't be able to get the American exclusives before, right? That person in Idaho wouldn't be able to get it because most of the items were sent to New Jersey because there's a higher population there. Is that their service? I don't think there's any value added to what they're doing. Instead, I think they're value decreasing. They're taking away from value. Look at this example. Makes it harder for kids to get it because adults are buying them all up to resell them. And now they're getting in fights about reselling them so that they can't even be sold anymore. So the kids don't get them at all. So the people who don't really want them aren't getting them. And that's the thing. It's like they're weaponizing our own desire against us. I mean, that's the argument about corporations, right? Oh, they're weaponizing our desires against us by trying to give us a fair price, by trying to figure out what the fairest price is on the market. Where now, you could argue this is part of the market, but to me, this is artificial because it's so irrational. It's so irrational that it's artificial, and it makes people like me go, I'm not gonna pay that extra 15, because, like I said, the extra 15 doesn't go anywhere. The extra 15 goes to USPS or UPS. It goes to eBay, right? It goes to PayPal. It goes to gas. Right, it goes to all of those other things rather than the person who thinks he's getting the extra $15. And it kind of pisses me off that I have to give my $15 to all of these services that he's decided to put the item through rather than, you know, just letting people who want it buy it. So Midsider Tom put a comment in the chat here. The beauty of Ticketmaster is when they make tickets more expensive based on demand, the people get mad at Ticketmaster, not the actual artist. Or event. I mean, I don't know why you'd get mad at anyone, but yeah, it would be like, you know, if the all-time low tickets went up. All-time low, why are your tickets so... Or, wow, why did I almost screw that joke up? All-time low, why are your tickets at an all-time high? Why'd you have to get so popular? Right? It's like, your concert's in demand. You suck for being so good! Right? It makes no sense. But instead, you know, this happens with concert tickets. It does. Flippers do it with that, too. I remember, like, when there would be, like, the Starting Line did their reunion show. Like, they hadn't played in, like, 15 years or 10 years or something. And then all their tickets sold out, and they were going for, like, astronomical prices all night. Or Jax Mannequin was playing a New Year's show in Los Angeles. And I was like, I don't like to fucking do anything for New Year's, and I'm so single. So I was like, whatever, I will... I'll go to that show, but I didn't get the tickets in time, and they were going for like a fucking ridiculous amount online because people who didn't really want to go wanted to fucking make money off of the people who actually really enjoyed it. So like I said, it's like, it's not even value added. It's like disincentivizing you from having like hardcore interests and being like a really big fan of something. You like can't go like so deep into being a fan of something and like buying merch, or like, it's not even buying merch if you go to a show, right? You have to pay the flipper tax. It's ridiculous, the flipper tax. And like I said, the money's not even going to the people who they think it's going to. Like, it's going to all these other services. You know, maybe if you were like, I get it with the shoe game. If you're like upcharging for hundreds of dollars, and in that case, it's like, why is Adidas not charging that much? But I would think that they would be if it was actually that much money was being left on the table. So I think with all of it, they have to just be leaving money on the table. So Midsider Tom said, yeah, so the negative consequences of not raising ticket prices to meet demand is that they end up more expensive because of the marginal effect you're describing. Right. And then the money, like I said, this is the worst part. The money doesn't go to the people raising the ticket prices. It goes to them paying all the fees for all the time they're wasting thinking they're making money by raising the ticket prices. Or, like I said, ticket prices can be an extreme example. You know, like ticket prices to Brady's return game in Foxborough with Tampa in the fall in October? End of September, week 4. I don't know when week 4. Week 4 could be fucking February at this point. The sports seasons are so fucked. But week 4, they're like $1,000 minimum, right? So if you flip those tickets, you're making good money at that point. So, like, I get that there. Why is Gillette Stadium, why is Robert Kraft not raising the tickets there? Well, because it would be bad PR to be like, yeah, I'm going to fuck the fans because Tom Brady's coming back, the quarterback who like gave us 20 years. So for one game out of all the games, I'm going to raise the tickets. That's bad PR. That doesn't create a good relationship with your fans who you want to keep coming back over and over again. And I get that. And that certainly probably plays into brands like Funko and all these shoe companies. With Funko especially, and with Pokemon cards, right? With Pokemon cards, you're not making that much margin by flipping. So it's fucking stupid. All right, last thing I wanted to touch on, it's blowing up in the Discord right now because Midsider Alex is watching Backlash. You know, he commented earlier, and Backlash is sponsored by Army of the Dead because Dave Bautista is the star of Army of the Dead, and you know, Batista is a WWE Hall of Famer. So they're doing all crazy stuff. I guess they're having a lumberjack match. A lumberjack match is when all around the outside of the match, or the mat, or the ring, sorry, the ring, wrestlers are standing, but I guess they're dressed like zombies. I don't know if they're actual zombies. Imagine if a wrestler got thrown out and he got bit by a zombie and he had to turn into one. Why isn't there even a wrestling zombie movie? There's a wrestling slasher movie. I forget what it's called, but these people go to an abandoned town in Mexico, and Rey Mysterio Jr., but the original Rey Mysterio is there as a serial killer who unmasks. He's like a mystical serial killer who unmasks people by ripping their faces off, and that's how he kills them. So it's like a slasher movie. I don't know why they've never done like a zombie pro wrestling crossover, though. That'd be interesting. Maybe I should make it. No, that's a terrible idea. Before I talk about Army of the Dead, though, before I give my way too early review slash thoughts slash analysis, I'd like to remind you all that you can always support the show by You can always support the show by going to Patreon or Locals. Patreon is per episode. Locals is per month. We appreciate any and all support because it keeps the show going. Midside.com/Patreon, themidside.com/locals. And I will not be editing out that, right? That was just a mistake. I mean, I'm just going totally off the dome, totally off the cuff. Thanks, Tom. Tom said, raise funds to help Justin with speech impediment. Raise funds to help Justin with finding a way to not wake up at 5 in the morning every day and work a wrestling tournament for over 12 hours a day on the weekends. Raise funds to help Justin with that. How about that? That's why I'm this way. I'm happy with how I'm doing. I think I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to pat myself on the back. So I saw Army of the Dead in theaters. So as it stands, the only two Zack Snyder movies I have not, well, three, sorry. The only three Zack Snyder movies I have not seen in theaters. Actually, I take that back. There is only two. I was going to say Dawn of the Dead, but I saw that in the Art Center of Pasadena Theater with Zack Snyder at his Director's Cuts event. I'll count that. So I've only not seen two Zack Snyder movies in theaters. Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole, and Zack Snyder's Justice League. Those are the only two I haven't seen in theaters. I didn't think this movie was going to come out in theaters. I thought it was going to be Netflix only. So I was really excited when it was announced it would come out in theaters. I was really worried it wouldn't be around here. I thought it would be like a New York, Los Angeles type deal. Although those are the lockdown places, so I don't know how it could have been there. But it ended up being a pretty wide release in Cinemark. So on Thursday night, Christine and I went and we saw it. I was wondering how packed the theater was going to be. We did a 7 p.m. showing, and there was three other people in the theater with us. There was a guy in front, and there was a couple rows behind us. I think that may have been because the 8 o'clock showing was like the Cinemark XD, which is like supposed to be their better theater. I don't know how much better it is. I'm going to go on Wednesday. I'm going to go with Midsider Elliot and see it there on Wednesday, see the difference. He hasn't seen it and he wants to see it with me, so fuck it, I'll go again, which is sort of a review on its own. I was very sort of underwhelmed with the turnout, although I will say that, you know, I've been going to AMC Disney Springs for theaters, for movies for my theater, and that's pretty active. Right, they still sell concessions. There's still people there. You know, that AMC, that Cinemark at Universal City Walk, that was dead. I think that was a zombie. I mean, the lights were off. The concession stands were closed. There was like nobody in the theater walking around going to their theater. I don't know. It was very strange to me. I don't know how they're still in business. I would assume that Cinemark's just trying to stay afloat, and they know that in the long run, that's going to open up. I mean, Universal in Florida and Disney just got rid of their outdoor mask mandate, so that might make people more likely to go to City Walk. Although City Walk's tough, right? Like, I'm okay right now because I have a season pass, so I can get in at any time with free parking. But in Florida here, City Walk, right? Disney Springs always has free parking any time of day. But City Walk, it's only free parking after like 6 p.m. So I don't know how they would get like people on vacation who would want to go to the movies or anything. Oh, it's very strange. So that was pretty empty. As for the movie itself, first of all, seeing the Stowe Quarry logo come up at the beginning is like, I was like a mind-blowing thing. I cheered. Like, I don't know, like, it was very surreal for me because that's his first movie where like it's the Stone Quarry logo comes up, right? Zack Snyder's Justice League. It says, you know, Stone Quarry production, Stone Quarry / Atlas Entertainment production, right? Which was cool in its own fucking right. Right. That those two were together. But then this, before you see anything else, you see the Stone Quarry logo. And, you know, I got that tattooed on my arm. It was crazy. It was just like, wow, have we entered this world? And that was the coolest thing about seeing this movie. That was the coolest thing about seeing this movie. Like, I am 100% over Zack Snyder doing DC movies. Now, I'm not saying I'm over the movies that are already out. I love Man of Steel. I love Dawn of Justice. I love Justice League, right? These are great movies, right? I rank them differently. I'll give my definitive ranking at some point. I love them. But seeing an original Zack Snyder movie again was... It was surreal. It was like, we're back here again, and I'm ready for this, and I want more. And just seeing that opening logo, I was like, yes, let's do this. Now, as for the movie itself, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to pretend it's his best work. It's not. I don't think it's better than any of his DC movies. I'm not going to pretend that it is. And someone actually, Minnesota Tom just asked, did you hear that apparently the WB execs hadn't even seen Zack Snyder's cut until really late in the whole debacle? I've heard it all. I know all about the drama. Like I said, I don't care anymore. Why you would want someone to go back and work for someone who obviously doesn't care and obviously doesn't want them around, I don't understand. Because you love that IP? I get it. I guess the people who love that IP, I get it. But I don't love that IP enough. I don't care. And that's the point. I saw this movie and it was like, I don't need him to do that. I don't need him to do that. I can have him do new IP. If you can't handle Zack Snyder as best, you don't deserve him ever. Okay, if we want to go Instagram with this, I suppose. But I wouldn't even call Batman versus Superman as best, right? I mean, maybe Man of Steel, right? Maybe Man of Steel. But... And I wouldn't call Army of the Dead his best either. Right? I wouldn't. And it's sort of a high bar for me, because like when I think of Zack Snyder original work, I think of Sucker Punch. And I wanted this to be a Sucker Punch so badly. And it's not. It's not. It doesn't have the overall beauty. It doesn't have the overall cohesion. It doesn't have the overall depth, sexiness. Definitely, I mean, it's tough to make zombies sexy. It definitely doesn't have the sexiness either. Although, I would like to point this out for all of the people who say Sucker Punch is misogynistic. There is more nudity in Army of the Dead than there was in Sucker Punch. Think about that for a second. But no, this is, look. Is it a good movie? Yeah, it's a good movie. The basic idea of this is there is a... Hold on a second. Sorry, my cat was outside the closet door just like fucking yelling like she was dying. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, calm down. So I had to just bang on the door to get her to shut up. Like, it was literally like somebody was out there. Rey Mysterio was probably out there unmasking my cat's face, right? So I'm probably about to get killed by a serial killing luchador is probably what that was. That's a scene out of a horror movie, right? Where you're like, shut up, cat. And then you knock on the door and get the cat to go away. And you think the cat got scared, but really the cat was killed. And then you get killed when you walk outside the door. So this is, if you may never hear this episode. So... this could be wasted. So, Midsider Tom, you could be the last person hearing me ever. But anyway, so the basic idea is there is a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas. So Las Vegas gets walled off and it's going to be nuked by the president. But before it's nuked, a corporate guy recruits Batista and his team. And his team, what before Vegas was walled off and when there was a zombie outbreak, Batista's team used to go into Vegas and take survivors out and like get them out. And they tried to rescue as many people before it was walled off. And he recruits them and he's like, you know, there's $200 million in a safe in a vault under a casino. If you go in there, you can keep $50 million of it. But you obviously have to go in and get out before it's nuked. In this movie, the zombies aren't the same. They have a leader. He is colloquial gone by Zeus. He has more consciousness than zombies typically do. There are also three levels, right? There's the typical shambler, then there's the alpha zombies, then there's Zeus. And the alpha zombies are presumably converted, turned by Zeus himself, right? Zeus also has a sort of a wife who's pregnant in this movie. There's some spoilers here. And the movie revolves around trying to get in without Zeus knowing about them and how they upset Zeus and Zeus has to attack them, and then how there's discord within their own group, right? It's a typical horror movie. It's a typical horror movie. There are a lot of tropes here. And look, I'm not going to act like you guys aren't dumb, right? If you listen to my show, you're not dumb. The zombies have a discord. No, the humans have a discord. The zombies essentially have social media, right? They yell at each other. That's how they communicate. Right? But that's the thing, is ultimately this is about communication, okay? I was saying you guys aren't dumb because you know that if it's a horror movie, how does it have to end? Tragically, right? You don't have a horror movie. This is why I like horror comedy, because it doesn't have to end tragically. You take the tropes of horror movies and you make them ineffective by making fun of them, and then you can have happy endings. You can have positive endings. You can overcome the moral flaws. But the question in a horror movie has to be, what are the moral flaws of all of these characters? And in my opinion, in my perspective, and again, I've only seen this once, the point of this movie was, the moral flaws was everybody's inability to communicate. They literally only communicated right before one of them died, or right before, like, I mean, I can't say this any better. It's like, you've escaped a zombie outbreak, and the nuclear bomb is about to be dropped on Vegas, and now you're having the heart-to-heart conversation with your daughter. Like, that is intentional, especially when the point is the zombies are so deadly and scary because they can actually communicate, and they actually set rules and boundaries, and if you break them, they attack you, right? And I'm not saying, like, the zombies are good guys, but, like, you get it, right? Yo, they said these are their boundaries. They said these are these rules. All you had to do is follow them. Like, that fucking sucks when you do that and people won't follow them. You know, that doesn't mean you go and attack them, but you get why the zombies are like, hey, this is our territory, this is how it is, that's the end of it. Right? You get where they're coming from. It's like they kind of want to be left alone. They kind of want to be left alone. Just leave them alone. Right? Now, again, I'm not defending the zombies. It's kind of hard to defend, like, the creatures that feed on humans and that kill for hobby, for sport, right? Whatever that is now. Hunters kill for sport. All right, fuck off. All right, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole of trying to argue with social justice warriors in my head about why zombies are immoral. But you kind of get, you know, Snyder said he wanted to have some sympathy for the zombies. You kind of get where that's coming from with the whole Zeus, Athena being pregnant, all that whole storyline, all the rules, right? Giving sacrifices, right? It's interesting where that comes from, how that manifests. But what the zombies have that the humans don't is they have good communication. And that's ultimately what makes them win in this situation. What makes them win? You know, we can also discuss what it means to win. I would argue the zombies have won. I would argue that's what makes a good horror movie. And as always, you know, this is what sets up a sequel. This is a horror action movie. Now, where does this fit in all of Snyder's movies? I would say that this is sort of not as good as Sucker Punch's 300, as all of, like, his top tier movies, but it's definitely better than Dawn of the Dead, and it's definitely better than Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole. So it's sort of right in between there. It's sort of like a career rebirth for him. You know, Tom Brady once said after his knee injury at the beginning of the 2008 season, right, when in that game one he blew out his knee against Kansas City, he said, it feels like halftime for my career. This sort of feels like halftime for Zack Snyder's career. He started his movie with a zombie, started his career with a zombie movie. Now he's starting his career, his second half of his career, with another zombie movie. That's sort of what this feels like to me. Dawn of the Dead wasn't his best work. This is better than Dawn of the Dead. It still had, like, you know, prototypical Snyder shots. There was one slow-mo in there, and there was some beautifully framed shots. There are some shots that are fucking gorgeous in there. And there's a lot of, like, very Snyder things There's some really awesome dialogue in there. There's one particular line of dialogue that I've talked to some of my good friends about. And I think it's fucking tremendous. And I think it sort of confirms Snyder's sort of philosophical, political, proclivities, inclinations, right? So yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff here. But on the other hand, there was some more talky stuff that I didn't like. The opening scene was kind of expositional. Although I will say I've seen the opening 15 minutes twice. The first time in theaters, I was kind of like, ugh, this isn't very good. Although the second time I was more okay with it. And I think it's supposed to be tropier and over the top and sort of bad. Where they're like, what do you think we're hauling? The military is hauling a craft. The military is hauling a craft, and they're like, what do we have behind us? And somebody's like, maybe it's an alien. And the other person's like, you say it's an alien? The person's like, wait, what? We have an alien? That's not the literal dialogue. That's not the literal dialogue, but it's expositional in that way, and I wasn't a fan of it. And there are other, you know, sort of scenes that are framed that way, so I wasn't a big fan of it there. But, you know, there's thematic stuff there. I also think that right-wing people are going to be more mad at it. There's an obvious shot at Trump, and it's a thing you have to make fun of Trump for. And, you know, there are camps there for political prisoners where they take their temperatures. And, you know, they say they're being used for people who, like, oppose gay rights and are, like, anti-abortion and things like that, which is, that sort of plays into the whole point of the movie, and I'll have to ruminate that a little bit more. But I don't think the point is, like, explicitly right wing is evil. I think it's all government is evil. All extreme government is evil. And I think that's sort of the point, because you see it from both sides, you know, with sort of the zombies as well. Somebody asked me, talking about the burger joint, where in the beginning Batista is flipping burgers in a joint and flipping burgers as a chef in a roadside diner, sort of like Hugh Axton and Atlas Shrugged. You know, I was saying that I had a reaction to that, and that's what it reminded me of. I wasn't saying Snyder was specifically doing that. I said that in the Discord. I might have seen that in a previous episode. But here's the thing. Now, I can't really say where I heard this or anything, but there's a character in the movie who has a master's of philosophy. This is shown explicitly on screen. Supposedly, he was originally supposed to be the main character, Batista's character. Not the actor, the character. And they changed them for, Snyder changed it for a later reason. So, if the original writing was the philosophy, Masters of Philosophy character was working in a roadside diner's flipping burgers, it's kind of hard to ignore. Kind of hard to ignore that parallel. Kind of hard to ignore that. But that's something I have to go back and rewatch again for, figure all that stuff out. That is my favorite character. The Masters of Philosophy character was my favorite character. He was the best character. I loved his combination of, you know, mind and body. He was a great character. So there's a lot to go back and rewatch about this. I would give this a bromantic review. I think it's worth watching. Don't expect it to be as good as Justice League, though, as Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's no 300, it's no Sucker Punch, right? It's no Watchmen, but it's still good, right? I would never, like, if somebody was like, what's the one Zack Snyder movie I should watch? It would never be Dawn of the Dead, right? It would never be Legends of the Guardians. Although, you know, if somebody was like, I really love animated movies, what's the one Zack Snyder movie I should see? I could see saying that. But, like, this is one that I was like, if somebody saw, I'd be like, yeah, that's a good introduction to his film work. You know, the opening credits are tremendous. But otherwise, you know, go watch his other stuff. I wouldn't be upset about it, though. So, you know, go out and see it. I'd love to hear everybody else talk about it. Obviously, it comes out on Netflix on the 21st of May, right? That's Friday the 21st. It comes out. I'll have seen it twice by then. But when you all see it, hop in that Discord. Tell me what you all think. I want to see what everyone thinks about this movie. I want to hear about it. I want to talk about it in the Discord. Because, like I said, I already know it's going to be, you know, embraces some, like, extreme left-wing movie, because, you know, the way people are with movies nowadays, you know, the way people are with, oh, Batman, he hates immigrants. Dawn of Justice is all about immigrants and how awesome they are. And Man of Steel is all about immigrants. Yeah, is there an immigration motif in there? Is there the immigrant's journey motif in there? Yes. Are there, like, right-wing critiques in Army of the Dead? Yes. Does that make it a far-left movie, pro-social justice? No. But you know people are going to take it that way. So I'd love to hear what you all think once you see it, when it's on Netflix, or go in theaters. I love going to theaters. Keep going to theaters alive. This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin M. Lesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.